Hey everyone, this is Franklin Sterling III, and I'm here with Karen
Soliday the Fifth.
Karen Soliday the Fifth.
That's my lucky number, five.
Her lucky number's five, my lucky number's four.
Ooh.
It's pretty
interesting.
That's
interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Four,
so
five.
So what does nine connotate?
Three, four, five.
Numeric.
One, two, three, four, five. What do you mean?
But because numbers are assigned some kind of cosmic vibe. I wonder what nine is. What nine is.
The number
is.
Nine?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Look it up. We need to find out. Anyway.
I know that the number four is structure and like stability.
Really?
The number, because there's four sides to a square. Four cardinal points.
What's five?
That make up, you know. North, south, east, and west.
Five is a pentagram.
Five is the star pentagram, which is, you know, the five senses.
Wiccan, Wiccan means of the heath.
It's or, the five senses. It's all the five senses.
Which is good because I like gardening a lot, and I'm really into the earth and flowers and growing things, and that's interesting. Because I was born on 1/5. At 5:25 in the a.m.
That's crazy. You know what?
1/5/5/1.
If I was born 31 minutes, that's 3 plus 1, 31 minutes later than I was actually born. I was born at 3:29 a.m. That's what it says on the birth certificate. If I was born at 4 a.m., I would have been born on 4/4/84 at 4 o'clock in the morning. And if you take, you know, 31 minutes, 3 plus 1 is 4. Isn't that kind
no,
of cool?
No, but I think of the same stuff, because I was born at 1/5/5/1.
It doesn't mean anything, but it's still
it's just kind of cool.
It's a fun thing.
That's why I took 5 as my lucky number. It just kind of kept, 5 kept coming about, so that's
cool.
Why I took it.
And I'm technically not the third. I'm technically the fourth. Dun, dun.
Da, 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 da. So what should our topic be for this one?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, the process.
The process.
Of doing this yourself and how much work is involved in it.
Well, I can tell you from my perspective, there's been quite a bit of work.
No, there is, and there's a lot more work coming. And that'll be falling on my shoulders because I'm the person that's kind of spearheading the marketing, and I've been taking all kinds of seminars and you know, to get the buzz out about this book. Well, we can't really, really go gung-ho yet until the website is live. So that's hopefully in the next 2 weeks it will be. And then once that happens, then the can of worms, Pandora's box, will open and we have to get the word out about
we'll see
the book.
This is either going to be a massive flop. Or a,
it won't. It's not a flop. It's not going to be
a moderate success.
No, it's already a success. It can't be a flop because anytime you write your own book and you do it yourself, like we've already done, that is a major success. So, as far as what is success? Does it equal ducats in your pocket? I don't know. Not really. The success is already there by doing this successfully. I'd like to be able to successfully feel that I know how to build a strong platform and how to and have facility with social media marketing. So
those
that's,
are all great things, but
that's,
at
and
the
I'm
end
learning,
of the day, it all comes down
money.
To money.
Yeah, but not really.
Yeah.
Well,
really?
Well,
how
are
you going to pay your bills? How are you going to drive your car?
True,
how are you gonna,
but that,
you know, health exams, things like that. You got to take care of your body.
I've got insurance. I'm happy.
But you
thank
pay
you,
for
President
the
Obama. I'm paying for it. Well, we could open another whole can about how the world operates and the United States in particular. It's got many, many problems. But successfully wise, I've got lots of things that I want to do. I think we could successfully market this book. Just the fact that I'm planning on doing some business proposals to
we won't say who
to,
but
we the proposals are
they're targeted towards large
corporations, couple of them, because I think our message will be very effective with regards to their corporate message.
Mm-hmm.
They need they have lots of money to give away, and they like to give it away to people that aren't famous and, you know, that need help and that can help them. So a symbiotic relationship.
So where does this money come from?
It's money that corporations make, and they have it to give away, and I think they get a tax break in certain ways by giving it away. Obviously, they do. And I mean, it's goodwill for the corporations, for corporations to do that, and entities. And then, you know, they give it away, and they, you know, they want to see what their money's going to do for them. With regards to this book, there's some really good ones, I think. I can't say, but
potentially very,
very good,
promising.
Yes. Yeah.
Outlets. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see even down the road, even licensing, maybe even on some things. Mm-hmm. That's the world that I came from. I worked for a toy manufacturer, one of my jobs, and I was in sales, and I was a national account manager for a toy manufacturer, and I learned all about inventory, procurement, vendor compliance, logistics, moving product from Malaysia and China and to Los Angeles, and getting it into the port of entry and on container ships. And I learned about, you know, demoing and prototypes and market testing in large companies like Target and Costco, you know, big, you know, companies buying, and vendor compliance. Interesting. It's interesting how corporations make money off of each other, on the types of corporations that do manufacturing, how they ding other corporations that don't deliver stuff to them in a very specific way. I mean, it's just so interesting. Like, companies like Toys R Us or Target or Ross, all those kinds of toy, you know, there, a lot of times the companies that provide them with their product are different company names, which I won't say, but the way they get their stuff, they get it. It has to come into their warehouse. It has to come into their warehouse in specific sized containers, and it has to come in at a specific time. Blah, 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 blah.
But what does all this? Hold on. What does all this have to do with
the red bed spread?
No. With the red bed spread, and with,
we're just talking
targeting
about
larger corporations to get funding.
Well, I was just talking about larger corporations and licensing and stuff, and that was part of what I learned on this specific job that I had for 3 or 4 years. I was really good at this job. It was very fascinating. So companies, if you don't bring product into their warehouses the way they want you to, then they're charging the other company, they're dinging them with fines. This, by the way, all goes into what they charge you, the consumer, for a product in their store. It's fascinating. Well, I became an expert at vendor compliance in this company, this toy company that I worked at, and nobody could hide from me. Because I knew exactly what was going on, and I had to go through 3 or 4 years of a backup in this company that I worked in, because nobody wanted to tackle how complicated it all was, and I did, man, and I made our company some giant money because I went back and looked at all the laws and stuff and what was happening and how other companies were just gouging our company when they shouldn't have been, when we were doing it right. And in turn, other big companies could see that they were getting dogged in certain other ways. So it's really funny, because there was a lot of jobs that I had in my working career when I worked in sales and manufacturing and stuff that I really actually was really good at, and I really actually liked a lot. And I remember this particular company, when I left, they had to get 3 people to cover my one job that I did. Mm. 3 full-time people doing the job that I did by myself.
It's a little egotistic.
But it's true. Anyway, so back to the topic at hand.
Which is
you know, marketing this book and and getting the word out, which I think I'll be good at, because, I mean, I was always torn by the fact that I started out in show business and wanting to be a professional actress and singer, and I did a lot of projects. I toured in a lot of shows. I did all kinds of commercials. Anyway, but I learned a lot of how to do business and sales and marketing.
I do agree with, you know, you do have, with what you're saying, you do have a very easy way of talking up a subject or talking a person up,
sales. You know,
selling a person, selling a product.
But that's what sales is.
Yeah, that is what sales is, and you're very good at doing
it. Nobody wants to buy something from somebody where you think you're being sleazeballed
so
out
what kind
by
of
a
things,
greaseball.
What kind of things are you planning to do as far as, in with concern to the red bedspread, calling people, emailing people, sending sending copies of the book? What are you going
to
be doing?
My goal is to become the killer platform builder and killer social media marketer of this book.
So what is the killer media marketer of this book?
If you build a strong platform for your product, let's say, and the product is the red bedspread, then people will come to you.
Right. So what is this platform?
I don't want to give away. I'm skirting it because I don't want to give everything away. What is the platform? Well, the platform
is... It's not like it's a...
Well, we're building it now.
Secret.
We're building it now. We're building it now by doing these podcasts. That's building a platform.
That's part of
building
our platform.
We're part of the new breed of publishing, which is we're doing it ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We're not relying on a literary agent or a publisher, which in this day and age, like we said in earlier podcasts, they're going to take all your money, number one, and you're going to still do all the work because you're going to do all the work anyway. It's only that top, you know, 0.05% of authors that have agents and publishers that don't do anything, you know, where they're so successful that it's done for them. You still have to do it all yourself. And there's all kinds of things that you have to do with regards to books, like, you know, taking your book into schools and reading it with kids, and, you know, taking it, calling on bookstores, but a lot of bookstores
now
are
corporate. You're talking about the self-publishing perspective.
Yeah, yeah. We got to do all that ourselves. Because nobody's going to buy this book unless they know who you are. So you have to get the word out in so many ways. Twitter, Pinterest, Etsy, Facebook, and we're going to have pages for all of that. We've got it now for Facebook. And once we go live, we'll tweak everything, and I'll constantly be looking at all of it. We have the redbedspread.com, which is why you're listening to this. All kinds of stuff. And I'm taking, every month, I'm taking more and more seminars on how to be even better at it, you know, building a big list. It's just, you just got to get the word out about the book. My goal would be to become a really good social media marketer and platform builder with this book, and get a corporate, if I can get one corporate sponsor, which I think I can, I'll be happy as heck.
So let's talk about some of the specifics of the marketing.
Well,
what was it that you wanted to show me earlier?
I just wanted to make sure that
what did you want to talk to me
about?
Well,
on the redbedspread. The six pillars of a strong marketing plan.
Earlier, before we started the podcast, Karen was talking to me about these six pillars.
A strong marketing plan. One little tidbit. Did you know by the year 2020 that 73% of the entire world will be online?
73%
of the entire world will be online, will be able to be online. That's huge. So that's why everything that you do, if you really want to be successful, you've got
to
know
some sort of
platform.
Presence.
That's right. You need to know social media marketing and marketing online. You have to have a presence. That's amazing. Seriously. Interesting tidbit. Facebook versus Pinterest. People that go to a website that they see on Pinterest are going to spend I don't know the exact, I have it somewhere. They're going to spend
So you're
it.
Talking about the advertisements, like on Facebook, there's advertisements on the yeah, side. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Of the screen.
People will go and visit those websites.
So people who visit the websites from their Facebook accounts
spend less money per capita than people that go from Pinterest to that website. It's almost doubled. So those are
so Facebook is kind of going the way of MySpace? Is that what you're saying?
No, no. Facebook is not going the way of MySpace. Not at all. Not at all. I think Zuckerberg has his hand on it. Facebook is not losing. It's gaining people all the time. They're good for like... Facebook is good for like sheer numbers of people that are on it. Okay? And the advertising, as you can see now, it's more and more where people are putting a presence so that you can like their page, because those will pop up now.
Mm-hmm.
People are paying for them to pop up, and they pop up in groups. And I have clicked on like on several of them, because when you click on like, then you're going to get a feed into your Facebook page from that company.
Right.
So now I'm very particular about what I click on like.
Sometimes you have to be careful, because if you... just start randomly liking everything, then
right,
you're going to start getting all kinds of
you're going to have
crazy
some,
you know odd things showing up in your newsfeed and whatnot.
Exactly. And now I know that, so I'm not clicking on every Tom Schmo that, you know, because I want just what I want. On Pinterest, for example, you have more control over that. You're not going to get every Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's what's interesting, is I am learning about the really powerful nuances between the different medias. And there's a lot. And there's a lot more that I need to know. And there's a lot of stuff. It's like the Wild West right now. There's a lot of really great webinars. Personally, my shopping habits, I do most of my shopping on the web now. I mean, I don't have to get in my car and drive to a store. I like shopping in a store.
But driving to the store isn't... I don't mean to play devil's advocate or anything, LA, but driving to the store isn't that big of a deal.
But you know what's great about shopping online is that you can do the research about some product that you need, you know, and really now you put something into Google and you're going to find your answer.
The future is going to be a crazy place.
It's this. 2020,
so
73%
of
the whole
else
world's
about,
online.
About these pillars, the six
pillars
of marketing.
Okay, well, there's six pillars of successful marketing online. It's a whole different ballgame.
So is this all about... an online presence? Does this encompass
what the pillars are? Profit, clarity.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of profit do you want to make? All in your website. Is it easy to...
So the six pillars are profit, clarity.
Your website.
Your website.
Communication on your website. List building from your website. Meaning every person that goes to your website, you need to capture their name and their information.
And
offerings. What are you offering on there? You need to have continuous offerings on your website.
Just like, for example,
keep them coming back.
We have these, you know, podcasts available for
right.
people to listen to for free.
Yeah.
And then
and
marketing.
You'll be able to get the book. And then the marketing itself that you're going to be doing within that framework. So the best products are useless if no one knows about it.
Right.
So that's what building a platform
is. It's all about
means.
Getting up on that soapbox.
Right.
And talking about your product.
Pillar one, profit clarity. Spend time and energy for maximum return. The least amount of time for maximum return. The three W's of profit clarity. Who is your target market? What is your business model? Where is your business going to be most profitable? I mean, you know, they're just, it's...
So let's break that down as far as the red bedspread goes. Who's our target market? Our target market is 18 to 49 year old.
I just think
I think it's
from 10 to 75. Anybody who likes to look at really really
children,
good pictures,
but also adults.
Yeah.
It's going to be the 18 to 49 year old demographics that's going to be primarily purchasing these.
Books. Yeah. What is the business model? What is revenue? What is our revenue model? What's our solution?
So
is it going to be the most profitable for our business?
It's going to be online, selling the book via CreateSpace and selling posters.
Yeah. And selling prints from the book. Your website should do the following three things.
What following three things should our website be doing?
Connect, capture, convert.
What does that mean?
Connect with your audience instantly.
Capture.
Capture prospect's name and email.
And
convert browsers into buyers of the book. I mean, that makes sense. Okay. Pillar
three. We do that by allowing them to listen to the podcast, to see the trailer.
Right. See the trailer.
You'll also be able to see a preview of some of the pages
from the
via
book.
Create Space, right? From the book.
And we're going to go up onto the redbedspread.com and update the content. Maybe we'll have some contests to win the book. You just don't know. There's some new, incredibly cool, this is Franklin's department. What is it called? An AR marker?
Yeah, I don't think we're getting into any of that.
Well, but let's explain, since I'm putting out there,
I
what
think that
it
would be an amazing concept, and it would be a great marketing
tool.
But the
For
whole
fun,
idea is
too.
What I wanted to do is make a 3D model of Henry.
Yeah.
And then we place all these little AR markers around Los Angeles.
Which, by the way, it looks like one of those little things that you, a QR marker. It's
yeah,
like a little
it's essentially
code
the same thing.
You hold your phone up to.
So we would place all these markers around Los Angeles. Or we could do it in Boston, we could do it in New York, we could do it in Philadelphia, any major city around the United States. But so there's all these AR markers around whatever city you're in, and you go around, you go on a little scavenger hunt with your phone. You know, parents
yes.
can take their children around the city and see all the different places where Henry, this little 3D model of the character, has been running around to try and find his dad's lost job.
Yeah.
So I think that would be, you know, as I said,
a great mark, but it might be down the road. It might be a really cool, fun thing to do.
Yeah.
And if I can get the corporate sponsor that I want, we could do that in conjunction with using that AR marker and Henry in advertising of the corporate
yep.
sponsor that we get their goods and services. So I think it's a good, I envision that we are going to be doing that. It excites me.
It would be great to include in a pitch.
I love it.
And I think
it.
That
yeah.
people would really
yes.
enjoy doing it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I'm a techie, by the way. Franklin's 100 times more than me. I love all things tech, all things computer, all things marketing. I love it all. It's great. Okay, so pillar three, develop your communication plan. What is a communication plan and what should it do? Well, it adds value to the audience and customers on a consistent basis. Content, blogs equals inspire and instruct. So that's what we're doing now. And then there's what are the two things your communication plan should do? Add value to your audience, inspire and help them. That's what's cool. Pillar four, get traffic and grow your list. So get traffic.
So getting more people to come to the site to,
and that's
to
part
purchase
of,
the book.
Yeah, that's and create space. We'll have an author page on there, by the way. We have to go up and get that done once we go live. That's part of where they come into contact when you work with CreateSpace to independently publish your book. Part of that is already done by CreateSpace.
Pillar five?
Pillar five, create products and services. By the way, get traffic and grow your list. And that's part of that is getting everybody that goes to the redbedsbread.com. We want to know who you are so we can send you things down the road. Create products and services that sell themselves.
Essentially what that sounds like is basically like a fan club
yeah.
or a mailing list. Like bands,
right.
bands do it. Musicians and
time.
Bands do it all the time.
Yeah.
They have people,
yeah.
you know, give us your email address and we'll
yeah.
send you information.
And I like getting those emails, actually. It helps me to remember so many things. Create products and services that sell themselves. Know your position and package it. So marketing. If you have an amazing product or service, you're guaranteed success. False. Because you're not guaranteed success unless people know what it is.
You got to sell it.
You have,
right?
That's right.
So what's pillar number six?
The marketing is the lifeblood of your business. Pillar number six is marketing.
So once you have the content created, the lifeblood
is the marketing.
Is the marketing. That's yes. That's where you make
absolutely
your meat and potatoes.
So I'm
so we're gonna wrap up this podcast right now. I think we got a lot of information in
a lot.
In on this one. I think there's a good amount of knowledge for people to bite yeah. their teeth into.
Yes.
Is there any what else do you want to add to the I mean, six pillars or six to pillars. Marketing or anything like that before
no,
we say
it's,
goodbye?
It's all exciting to me, but it's and it is overwhelming when I think about it every day about how many things that I need to get done. I just have to just compartmentalize it and just do one thing at a time and make sure it's done right. But that's what we aim to do. We're going to do it right because I believe in this process and I believe in taking creativity
process.
On doing it yourself and that and remember
being a self-starter.
That's right. But just remember and by 2020, 73% of the whole wide world is going to be on the
73%,
web.
73%, everybody.
That's this our website with proper marketing.
For all those two people that are listening.
can reach clear to Kabul, Afghanistan, or clear to Manchuria, or Lapland.
Poconos, Antarctica.
The Poconos, or up to Cape McMurdo in the Antarctic, or to the Isle of Wight.
And with that,
sayonara.
We gotta go.
Yep.
We'll be back.